Max Lawton and Tom Morris with you, taking you through the first month of footy fixtures. It's great. It starts on June 11, and we can't wait for footy to come back. Max Lawton, you are the foxfooty.com.au fixture specialist. We're going to go club by club. Let's start with the Adelaide Crows. What would they be happy with in this fixture announcement today?
Tom, well, they get to play the showdown in Adelaide. That's at least one benefit of their fixture, but they're one of the four hub teams, and all of those hub teams are obviously not thrilled with the fact that they have to host a game in Queensland while they're there. The Crows will host Fremantle at Metricon Stadium. So, you know, it's not too bad. It does at least mean they won't have to travel to Western Australia at that point.
Yes.
But they may have to face West Coast later in the season because that game hasn't happened yet. And so, having the showdown as an away game could be helpful as well, by the way, because it means they have more home games later in the season.
So what about the sponsorship money that goes along with hosting a showdown? How would that be redistributed, if at all?
I'm not sure if it would be redistributed. I think it might be the case that you get a certain amount of home games and you get your sponsors on all the signage. I think Collingwood in particular has been looking at doing some virtual signage in the crowd during some games to try and maximise exposure for these sponsors who were looking for 22 games, obviously, and are now getting 17.
So we should have said from the top, they're playing Port, then Gold Coast, then Brisbane, then Frio. It's not a bad run for them, really, isn't it? They'd expect to win at least a couple of those games, the Adelaide Crows, even though they are a young group themselves. The Brisbane Lions, Fremantle, West Coast, Adelaide, and then Port. Of course, they're staying in Queensland for the entire duration of the month, which must be the biggest pro.
Yeah, and not only are they staying in Queensland, they're staying in Brisbane because all four games are at the Gabba, and the Lions are really one of the biggest winners because of that. They don't even have to play at Metricon Stadium once. They've still got a game against Gold Coast coming later in the season. The Q Clash was not part of this little hub. So if they can take advantage of this run of games at home where they're hosting the Eagles, hosting Port, who both should be good this year, they're really set up for a good second half of the season.
But does this mean that they'll have away games back-ended in the back half of the year? Is that a negative in a sense?
Yeah. I suppose it's the opposite of a silver lining. You know, it goes the other way. You've got four straight home games. You're going to have not necessarily four straight away games, but you have to make up for it at some point. They already had one away game in round one when they lost to the Hawks. So that does mean, of course, that if they were to lose a couple of games to the Eagles and Port, maybe even to Freo or the Crows, they could be in real strife.
Four games at the Gabba in a row is pretty enticing. Chris Fagan would be very happy with that. Carlton, they start with Melbourne at Marvel Stadium and then Geelong, Essendon and St Kilda. So four Victorian games, no trips outside of Victoria. What do you like about the Carlton fixture, Max?
Yeah, I like that a lot, being one of the teams that doesn't have to travel interstate for now. They obviously will have to later in the fixture. And a trip to Geelong is always going to be tough, but that's a fixture that Carlton probably would have had in a regular season, never mind this new era where Geelong's getting all of these games at GMHBA. So no Thursday or Friday night games, unlike a lot of teams. There's quite
expected.
A few teams getting that. Probably expected, but there is some optimism around Carlton. Honestly, they could win two or three of these. They could beat Melbourne, Essendon and St Kilda. I could say that. So yeah. If they get to 3-2, they wouldn't be too unhappy.
No chance against the Cats, though?
slightly biased with my tip there, to be fair, Tom.
No, I agree with you there. Collingwood. I'm always interested what the Collingwood fixture is because the AFL has to balance integrity against finances. What do you make of the Pies?
They've definitely got some financial bonuses here. Three MCG home games and three games on a Thursday or a Friday night. So the sponsors are going to be very, very happy at Collingwood. One of their games is to GWS at Giants Stadium, where they've lost their last two games. So that will be a tricky one. And they have to play the Tigers at the MCG, which is a home game. So it's a good one in a financial sense, but obviously going to be a tough one. So it's not the easiest run, but you've got to be pretty happy with it off the field.
And presumably they would be relatively happy to get these two hard games out of the way early, GWS and Richmond, meaning that they're probably likely to have some supposedly easier games in the back half of the year.
Yeah, potentially, particularly if we have an injury plague, which is sort of what we're expecting, a lot of soft tissue injuries at some point, that could really come into play.
Essendon Footy Club, much like Collingwood, a powerhouse in terms of the finances and the membership. They start with the Sydney Swans away at the SCG, and then they're playing the next three games in Victoria. Melbourne, Carlton and Collingwood. A couple of blockbusters to finish the first month for the Bombers.
Yeah, going to be some traditional rival games there. That Swans game will be tough. They haven't won at the SCG since 2009. the Bombers. Of course, we had the famous Gary Rowan game a couple of years back. But as you say, there's some winnable games in that patch, particularly against Melbourne and Carlton. So they could get to 3-2, even 4-1 if they pinch one of the games against the Swans or the Magpies, which wouldn't be too bad.
And also a famous Dane Rampey climbing up a post game as well, which we don't seem to forget too quickly. But three games in the at the MCG is a pretty good result for Essendon Footy Club. Fremantle, they're a young team, so they'll start with Brisbane, Port Adelaide, then Gold Coast and Adelaide. All these games are in Queensland, three at Metricon, one at the Gabba. This hub scenario presents a really unique situation for these four footy clubs that will travel over there. What do you make of the Dockers draw?
It's hard to find too many positives here, to be honest. They will get to play the Derby in the West at some point, which could potentially mean they play it in front of fans, which could be really good for their back pocket, particularly if they host it, which I believe Dale Alcock's really been pushing for. But obviously playing in the hub, playing Brisbane at the Gabba, and then playing a home game on the Gold Coast against Port is not ideal and very bizarre. So I could very easily see them going 0-3 before the game against Gold Coast, which would be very important for them.
Yeah, that's absolutely a real possibility. Geelong, your boys, GMHBA for the first couple and the MCG, then GMHBA again. It's hard to complain if you're a Cats fan, I'd imagine.
Oh, 100%. I think this season is perfectly set up for Geelong to do better than everyone expects. Because what we know about Geelong is they just win so many games at home. And part of that is having the crowd there, but part of it is the dimensions that they're used to the stadium and all of that sort of stuff. And hosting Hawthorn, so that's Hawthorn's first game in Geelong since 2006. That's going to be a big boon to them. And then hosting the Blues and Suns, you'd expect them to win those. And then Melbourne away at the MCG, also a game you'd expect Geelong to win. So you would be surprised if they weren't at least 3-2, if not 4-1. After that first up loss to GWS.
Yeah, well, last year's results, Melbourne were second last. Carlton were towards the bottom before a late surge. I say surge, a couple of wins towards the end, and Gold Coast finished bottom. So you'd say this is probably the easiest draw in terms of opponents of all the clubs, Max?
Probably, considering the home games as well, yeah.
Yeah. The Gold Coast Suns on the other side of the coin, West Coast, then Adelaide, then Fremantle, then Geelong at GMHBA. Can you explain to us how this transpired after the first three games will be in Queensland?
Yeah, so essentially, the way the hub's set up, you've got the six teams in Queensland, but not all of them can play for 5 weeks. You already had Gold Coast and Port Adelaide playing in round one, and we want to have a West Coast Frio Derby in the West at some point. So they've had to change things up. That's why you've got Richmond flying up to the Gold Coast in round five, and it's why you've got Gold Coast flying down. Which sort of compensates for the fact that they do get three straight games at Metricon Stadium, however tricky they may be against West Coast, Adelaide and Fremantle.
They would be expecting to beat Fremantle, I'd imagine, in round four, but there's a couple of more games before then.
Toss-up.
It's a toss-up at this stage. The GWS Giants, North Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Collingwood and Hawthorn are their four opponents. Three of those games at Giants Stadium, one at Marvel Stadium. What's the positive for Leon Cameron and the Giants?
I think probably the biggest positive is just the off-field side of things, because I think they're being rewarded for making the grand final. They've got two Friday night games, which are somewhat rare for the Giants. They get a few, certainly more than the other expansion team, Gold Coast. Yes, two in a row. One at Marvel 1 week and then at home the next against Collingwood. And they do well against Collingwood at Giants Stadium. They've won a couple of games in a row there. So it's a tricky fixture. The Dogs should be good. At least we think they're going to be this year. The Pies should be good and the Hawks look like surprise packets. So it could be tough, but they'll be well tested.
And a short turnaround between rounds two and three, just 5 days between the North Melbourne game and the Dogs game. Is this a constant across most of the clubs in the first month of the fixture?
Yeah, there's a couple of short turnarounds like that. I think Sydney might have one as well. You've got to keep in mind with Sydney and GWS, a lot of their weekends, they're flying up and down on the same flight in order to save costs. So that probably restricted their options a little bit.
Hawthorn, they looked really good in round one against Brisbane. How are they going to look in the next month against Geelong, Richmond, North Melbourne, and then GWS?
I think if the Hawks come out of this patch with a winning record, they should play finals because it's really tough. Geelong at GMHBA, Richmond at the G, Giants at Giants Stadium, three of the toughest draws you could possibly have in this little patch of games. And they will be tricky, but they looked really good against Brisbane. So I do expect good things and some good primetime exposure. Friday night game in round two, Thursday night in round three, and then a nice long break before North Melbourne in round four.
Do you think we'll know where Hawthorn is at after this next month?
Unless they have some okay performances, there's a possibility they lose those games by 2-3 goals each. And we think, oh, the Hawks might be okay, but we're not certain. But if they win one or two of them, I think we'll have a good chance of knowing that they're maybe a top four side.
Melbourne were going to play GWS in round two. They've now got Carlton in round two. They'd be happy with that. Then Essendon, Geelong and the Sydney Swans afterwards.
Yeah, and this is a team that needs to win early games, because if they drop to 0-3, 0-4 after last year, Simon Goodman's going to be under a heap of pressure. So facing the Blues and the Bombers is sort of a mixed bag there. You know, you'd expect them to at least be competitive in those games. If not, there's real issues. But if they drop those and they have to host Geelong, then they have to travel to Sydney, it could get bad.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting fixture for Melbourne. They can't afford to lose to Carlton and Essendon and then face Geelong and Sydney. Then they're in a world of hurt at North 3. But that's the doomsday scenario, I guess. And they've got time to put it right before then. North Melbourne, they face GWS, then Sydney, Hawthorn and the Western Bulldogs. What do you make of their fixture?
Yeah, this is another one where we have a lot of teams in this patch where we don't know how good they are. North Melbourne being one of them. They beat St Kilda in that bit of a comeback game in round one. Sydney does well against the Roos at Marvel Stadium. Historically, so that could be trickier than it seems. Hawthorn might be good. The Bulldogs might be good. Three games at Marvel Stadium in a row, they'd probably be happy with, though. So a good chance the Roos look all right out of this.
Port Adelaide against the Adelaide Crows in this showdown to start the restart proceedings. That's at home on Saturday, June 13, a Saturday night game. Looking forward to that, even though it will be a bizarre feeling with no fans, probably more than any other game. Maybe aside from Richmond and Collingwood in round two, because you're so used to the atmosphere playing such a pivotal role at the Adelaide Oval. Then Fremantle in round three. Then the other Perth team, West Coast, in round four. Then Brisbane in round five. Do you think Port will be happy with this fixture?
I think so, all things considered. The hub just makes things so difficult. So they're hosting West Coast at Metricon Stadium, another one of those weird hub games. Having to play at the Gabba against Brisbane would be tough anyway, but especially then they would have been in the hub for about 3 weeks. But hosting the showdown does at least give them a financial boost, so they'd probably be happy with that side of things.
Max, do you know how the AFL worked out who was going to be the away team and the home team for these Port and Adelaide and Fremantle and West Coast clashes?
I don't know how they did them specifically, but I do know that each team is hosting one game. Okay. So I think they just tried to balance it out as much as possible, because, you know, it doesn't matter in a sense if all of them are losing the one home game. It didn't matter which one was which.
Richmond take on Collingwood on Thursday night, July 11. They then got another Thursday night game on, sorry, June 11, I mean, then another Thursday night game on June 18. That's a pretty good start to the re-season, I guess, the season again, with some blockbuster games. And then another Thursday night game on July 2. So much like Collingwood, they'd be pretty happy with their sponsors.
Yeah, three Thursday nights, as you say. And that last one, Richmond v West Coast. West Coast, the home team, on the Gold Coast. Perhaps the weirdest fixture we've seen, I suppose, since the Shanghai games each year. So it's probably a win overall, you'd say. I mean, Richmond, they would have rather hosted West Coast in Melbourne, obviously. But it's better to be playing them on the Gold Coast than playing them in Perth. So that's got to be a win. And then round four, Maddie's match, the St Kilda Richmond game, should be a nice one as well.
Yeah, and that twilight Saturday afternoon slot. And we'll talk about the different slots for games as soon as we get through these clubs. Speaking of Maddie's match, St Kilda, so that's round four against Richmond. But they start off in round two against the Western Bulldogs, and they go Collingwood in round three, and the Tigers, as I just said, then Carlton. Big win is they don't have to travel outside of Melbourne in this first month, Max.
Yeah, it's a really sort of divisive block, I think. This will really decide their season. If they can get some wins here, and really, Collingwood and Richmond are tough opponents, but at least they're playing in Melbourne. Western Bulldogs and Carlton, you'd say that the Saints, if their trade period means a lot, they could win those games. And they need to, because if they're 0-4, 0-5 in this season, where you can only afford probably 8 losses, or you'll miss the 8, they'd basically be done.
On paper, it looks like a tough start. The first 3 weeks, the Dogs, the Pies and the Tigers. That's really difficult.
Yeah. And they're going to need to get it together quickly, I think, is the problem.
Yeah. Can't wait, especially in a 17-game season. Each game means a hell of a lot more. Of course, it's all relative, though. The Sydney Swans, Essendon in round two, North Melbourne in round three, back to the SCG to face the Dogs or host the Dogs, and then Melbourne in round five. Will John Longmire be satisfied with this four-week block of games?
I think so. I've been big on the Swans heading into this season, and this only assists that, because I think they could very easily be 4-1 or 5-0 And at that point, it's hard to miss the eight. You know, three home games, and then that one trip is to face North Melbourne at Marvel. The Swans have not lost to North Melbourne at Marvel Stadium since 2007. They've won five of the last six, and there was a draw in there as well. So it's a really winnable patch of games. Plus, the extra time off has helped Buddy get fit. Sam Reed's coming back soon. Everything's going really well for Sydney.
West Coast can't afford to take the Gold Coast Suns lightly in round two. We saw what happened over in Brisbane last year after they'd won the flag in round one. I know the Gold Coast Suns are not quite the Brisbane Lions of 2019, but they'll be fired up for this one. Brisbane in round three, Port in round four, then Richmond in round five. The Eagles, albeit in a hub, would be relatively happy with this.
I suppose so. You've still got the Derby at some point in the season, so that will be helpful to them. They could still host that. That Richmond game, as we mentioned when talking about the Tigers, it's tricky because you'd like to be hosting them in Perth, but at least you're hosting them interstate rather than travelling to Victoria. So sort of swings and roundabouts. And that Brisbane game at the Gabba will be very interesting because, like we said, round one last year, the Lions really announced themselves as a contender. So maybe the Eagles will be looking for some revenge.
And just a five-day break between Port in round four and Richmond in round five. So again, proof that they've got to condense the season somewhat to get these matches in. And Thursday night games are absolutely part of that. The Western Bulldogs, they fought hard for Friday night and primetime games late last year. They got them. And there was a danger they might lose a few of them given the reshaped season. How does it look for the Dogs ahead of the recommencement, Max? St Kilda, the Giants, Sydney and North Melbourne, their opponents.
Yeah, they've got them back. They've got a Friday night game against the Giants and then Thursday night the next week in Sydney against the Swans. So you could have probably expected the AFL to divvy out the blockbuster games a bit more fairly, but the Dogs have gotten a few even after their round one flop. So that's good for their back pocket. And it's some winnable games. The Giants game, they get that at home. St Kilda and North Melbourne teams, you'd probably expect them to beat. So there's a real chance the Dogs get back on track in this little month.
Before I ask you what game you're looking forward to most out of these 4 weeks, give us your biggest winner and your biggest loser from the fixture announcement.
I think biggest winner has to be Geelong, and it's not even necessarily because of this patch of four games. It's because hosting all of those games at GMHBA means that they're going to have 7, 8, maybe 9 almost guaranteed wins. If you look at historically, they win 90% of their games there. And if you only need 9 or 10 to make the finals, they can pinch a game or two away from home. So you'd expect the Cats to make the finals almost just because of the fact that they can host all these games. On the other side...
Just before you go on...
Yeah.
Just thinking off the top of my head, it's fair to suggest, is it not, that Geelong has the biggest home ground advantage by a substantial margin now, given that the two Adelaide teams and the two Perth teams aren't playing at their grounds. It's really only Geelong that has a home ground advantage in the whole AFL.
Yeah. It's almost making them more of a non-Victorian club than a Victorian club because this also means that they're not going to have much experience at the MCG and Marvel, which will be important come finals time. So there's swings and roundabouts.
Biggest loser?
There's a few teams. St Kilda, probably the one for me, just because a lot of people are expecting a lot from them after their trade period and the fact that it's such a difficult run. Bulldogs, Collingwood, Richmond. They could very easily be 0-4, and from that point, it's hard to see them playing finals.
And I'm looking forward to round two, Sydney versus Essendon on Sunday, June 14 at the SCG, because of one man, Lance Franklin. It's not as much the Sydney-Essendon matchup that I'm really looking forward to, although I will be watching and interested who wins the game, but I'm just looking forward to Buddy coming back. I can't wait for that, and he'll be back on the Sunday afternoon of round two on June 14. So make sure you tune into Fox Footy for that. What game are you looking forward to most, Max?
West Coast Richmond on the Gold Coast, just because of how bizarre it is. That could be a grand final preview, but I don't think a grand final is going to be played at Metricon Stadium anytime soon. So very, very different sort of situation for such an important game this year. It could mean a lot.
It sort of throws AFL tables out the window, doesn't it? It's sort of an obscure stat that'll be lying there for trivia nights years to come. Where did West Coast play Fremantle in 2020? A hint it wasn't in Perth or in Melbourne. What about the time slots for games in this four-week block? What's changed from what would have been scheduled otherwise for a normal season?
Yeah, so there's more Thursday night games. As we mentioned, there's one every week. I think they were going to do more this season anyway, but spacing out the games is a big thing. And the other one is pushing the Sunday twilight game back. Usually you'd have a 3:20 start into a 4:40 start and you'd have an overlap, but now we're not. There's going to be a 6:05 game on Sunday nights, I believe, which will mean you can watch all three games in a row, all on Fox Footy, obviously. without having to tape one of them or worry about getting spoiled with the score, which I like. There's still the overlap on Saturday nights, but it's hard to space things out unless you're going to do something crazy like having two games on a Friday night to avoid that.
So there's no overlap on Saturday afternoons, is that right? It's purely just the two Saturday night games that overlap?
Yes, because essentially on Saturday afternoons you usually have a 1:45 and a 2:10 game, but think of it as one of them is just moved to Thursday night.
I do like the fact that only two games overlap of the nine. I think that's the way forward for the AFL if they can manufacture it. Max, really good to chat to you. You are a fixture genius, and we can get all your work online at foxfooty.com.au, and we'll chat to you soon.
Cheers, Tom.